I want to ask you a question. Actually, a couple questions. How many of you want to go to heaven? Raise your hand. It's interesting that you bring that up, Jeff. Because my second question is, how many of you want to experience heaven today? Really, how many of you want to experience heaven on earth? Amen. The Lord kind of has taken me on a detour this morning. I was all ready to continue my series on marriage. The Lord is kind of leading me to go in a totally different direction this morning. And to talk about experiencing heaven on earth. I've been reading a book called The Holiest of All by Andrew Murray. And it is a rich study of the book of Hebrews. The holiest of all. And the holiest of all is not, okay, me being the holiest of all, but it's really the holiest of all is being in that most holy place wherein is Christ's presence and abiding in His presence. The holiest of all. That is the holiest of all. And I'd like us to start by turning to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Experiencing heaven on earth. How do we experience heaven on earth? Hebrews 10:19 says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." It says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place." We hear that scripture often, and it becomes something that we've heard often. But in the time of God's people, the Israelites, the most holy place was not a place that people entered with confidence. It was a place that was actually feared. It was a place that only the high priest could enter once a year to offer atonement for the sins of the people. It was a place that even that high priest had to go in with bells. All right, so that as he would be moving around, they could hear the bell tinkling. And if the bell stopped tinkling, they knew that the high priest was slain in God's presence. The high priest had died in God's presence. There was a place to be feared. They had to tie a rope around the high priest's leg so that if he died, they could pull his body out. The most holy place was a place that was feared. It was not a place where people went into. It was only entered once a year by the high priest to offer atonement for the sins of the people. So it says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter that most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain that is His body." See, there was a curtain that blocked the most holy place. People could not get in there. And something very symbolic happened when Jesus shed His blood on the cross and died in our place. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. When Jesus took that penalty upon Himself and died in our place on the cross, His body was broken. It says, by a new and living way, That is the curtain, His body. When His body was broken, the curtain that was symbolic separating us from the most holy place was torn in two. It was broken in two. That curtain is His body. And since Jesus' body was broken for us, that signifies that the way that blocked the most holy place to us is now open. We are able to go into that most holy place. Verse 21. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, how would you like to have Jesus as your pastor?
Amen.
Think about that. Jesus is your pastor. Jesus is your priest. Jesus is your great priest. Jesus is praying for you. It's all true. Everything that I said just now is true. It's not what if, it's true. Jesus is ever interceding to us before the Father. He is praying for us. He is interceding for us. He knows your needs. He knows what you're going through. He knows more of what your issues are than you know what your issues are. The Bible says He ever intercedes to us for us before the Father. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God. Let us draw near. Let us draw near. Let us draw near to God. Let us draw near to Him. With a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, Bill was talking about that sincere heart. How do we come into God's presence? Come in with a sincere heart. Do you want to worship the Lord? Do you want to be in His presence? Do you want to be near Him? Do you want to be close to Him? Do you want that? God sees your sincerity every day. You want to have a living, abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You want to be near to Him. Matthew 11 says, "Come to Me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For My yoke is easy, My burden is light." He said, to learn of Me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Come to Me. Come near to Me. Draw near to Me. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. God will honor your faith. It's a question of belief. Do you believe that you can come into the most holy place? Do you believe that you can actually come into Christ's presence? Do you believe that you can abide in His presence? Do you believe, as Andrew Murray says, that you can have unbroken fellowship with the Lord?
Yes.
But that can be your life. Unbroken fellowship with the Lord. That's His word. You have to believe that you can have that kind of life. It's there for you. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. See, when we come to the Lord, when we come to Him, we have to be honest with Him. We have to be honest with Him about our life. Everything is laid bare before the Lord. In order to experience heaven on earth, we have to be true with the Holy Spirit. We have to be willing to be true to Him regarding our sin. We got to be willing to be true to Him regarding whether we're truly willing to give up our sin. Whether we're truly willing to give up the life of self, which of course leads to sin patterns. If we are truly willing to give this up, because we know there is something so much better, unbroken fellowship with the Lord, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Andrew Murray points out that there really are three kinds of Christians. There are those Christians that really kind of stay in the outer courts. It says right here, Psalm 104, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. We're saved. We're thankful that we're saved. We're happy that we're saved. But we stay in the outer court. We know that we're going to heaven. We're thankful that I'm not going to hell. We're thankful that we're going to heaven. And we're saying, thank you, Lord, I'm going to heaven. But we stay in that place. It's kind of like, yes, I've got my ticket. I'm going to heaven. But the Lord has more for us than just the fact, okay, I'm going to heaven. Because we can experience heaven on earth.
Amen.
The second kind of Christian, he points out, are those that come into the holy place. And the priest went into the holy place. The priest served. They took care of the blood of the animals. They had to have their hands washed. They served in the holy place. And we believe, as the Bible teaches, that every single one of us are priests. Every single one of us are believer priests. That we are built together as the body of Christ to be priests who serve the living God. Every single one of us are called to serve Him and be those believer priests. But I can tell you from personal experience that we can get very busy serving the Lord. We can get very busy serving the Lord, taking care of everything that we need to take on our calendar, involved in ministry. I remember when my daughter Anna came home from Regent University for a week. I figured it out. If I wasn't careful, I could have had evening events or meetings on 6 out of the 8 evenings that week. But my wife and I decided that no, we needed to set this time aside to be able to rest and relax with Anna as a family. It can be so easy for us to become busy, even in ministry, doing. My wife had a dream when I became a pastor. We saw it as a very prophetic dream. It was around the time when I was ordained to become a pastor. And it was a dream about soccer. Our family loves soccer. And there was a soccer field kind of at the top of this little town. You think maybe a town in Italy or something like that, all right? Kind of on the coast, and it's a hilly town and rocky cliffs, and you've got some houses that are built into the cliffs and built into the rocks, and you got some stairs that are coming down and some streets that are coming down and so forth, and what she said, I was running after the ball all through the town. You know, I was trying to play soccer going down the stairs and running down all the streets and so forth and so on. And the meaning of the dream was to play soccer on the soccer field. And that's kind of been an anchor for us through the years, because as a pastor, you can get involved in many different things. There's many opportunities and things and so forth and so on. But what is our soccer field? What is the field that the Lord is giving us to focus on?
Amen.
All right, so every once in a while, Sylvia says, okay, let's remember what the soccer field is. All right, it's like an anchor to our family to keep our priorities straight. So that's the second kind of Christian. We can be serving the Lord. We're believer priests. It's great to serve the Lord. And we need to serve the Lord. We are believer priests. We need to be serving God. At Northgate Community Church, we believe that everybody has a place in the body. We're not a spectator church. We're a participating church. We believe very strongly in teamwork. I can tell you that to me, team is very, very important. I was sharing with the Gateway class today that there's a chink in my armor. There's something that has pained me from when I was a youth. But in ninth grade, I tried out for the junior high basketball team, and I made the first cuts, but I didn't make the second cuts. I can still remember the walk home that day and just wrestling with God in that. I'm about to even cry right now just thinking about it. I can remember trying out for the basketball team in 10th grade. Again, making the first cuts, but not making the second cuts. My name wasn't on the list. And ever since then, I've been trying to prove myself. Ever since then. I play against Dwayne. All right? You know, we go out and play. I'm trying to prove myself. All right? And it's like 33 years later. I'm still trying to prove myself. It's a chink in my armor. When I played college soccer, it was so important to me that I was on the team. I might just play 5 minutes the first half and 10 minutes the second half, when the coach maybe felt we had a comfortable enough lead. But at least, well, sometimes he put me in the heat of the action too. But I felt a part of the team. And I was able to, you know, be under a very good coach and learn how to coach. It's very important to me to feel a part of the team. And it's very important for me that all of you to feel a part of the team. But we are all part of the team. We're all making a contribution. We're all working together, all thrusting forward together. But when that quarterback says hike, we are moving together, all together, as a team. That's very important. And that's the kind of church we are, where everybody has a place to serve and to work together. But there's more. There's a third kind of Christian. And this is what the Lord has been doing in our midst in this year. This is what He's been doing as we've been worshiping together. And this is what the Lord wants for each one of us, is that we would abide in His presence. That we wouldn't just be thankful that we're saved and going to heaven. That we wouldn't just be busy serving the Lord. But thirdly, we would come to that place where we would learn to abide in His presence, that we can realize that we can live in the most holy place of His presence. That we can come into that most holy place because the curtain signified by Christ's body broken for us has been broken into, and we can come in His presence. And the thing about that is we can live in His presence. We can abide in His presence. As Andrew Murray says, we can have unbroken fellowship with the Lord. And that is experiencing heaven on earth. That is experiencing heaven on earth. I can tell you the thing that I most enjoy about our church is that we love to worship the Lord. All right? And we need to give glory to the Lord, but I just want to thank our worship team for their service to us. Thank you. And the reason we're worshiping the Lord is because it's not a performance. It's not for show. All right, it's what Bill's talking about. We sincerely desire to worship the Lord. We want to worship Him. All right, it's not to give glory to us. It's to give glory to Him. Amen. There isn't maybe a selfish thing in that. We just want to come into God's presence. We love His presence. We desire to be in His presence. We are the corporate home of His presence. As an individual, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Christ abides in you. As a congregation, as a church together, we are the corporate habitation of His presence. And so we come into His presence as brothers and sisters in the Lord. I'd like us to turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, Verse 10 says, in bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. That's the one we worship. Jesus was made perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. You see, Jesus makes us holy.
That's right.
So often when we see that word holy, it has a connotation. It almost can cause us to shrink back in fear. Well, you know, me, holy, I can never be holy. But holiness is coming into Christ's presence. Holiness is being in Christ's presence. It's not a focus on me, it's a focus on Him. Now, we cannot enter His presence with unclean hands. The Bible says, lift up holy hands. But even there, as we come before Him in sincerity of heart to having have our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water, Jesus purifies us. Jesus cleanses us. 1 John says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to purify us from our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we are purified as we come before Him. Again, what do you want? Do I want my sin or do I want God? Do you want your sin or do you want God? And so, you know, we can't have it both ways, but we are willing to give up sin and sin patterns and come before Him and truly confess before Him. Not try to trick God, whom we can't trick anyway. Not try to lie to God. We got to be truthful with Him. All right? But we're saying we're willing to give that up so I can have your presence. So I can have the most holy place. So that I can experience heaven on earth. And have that fellowship with Him unbroken. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. When I was a young man, we would sing this song so often. I will declare that your love stands firm forever. And there was a song that talked about, I will declare His praises with my brothers. And I, you know, we've got three brothers, and that was kind of a rallying cry for us, you know, to declare His praises with my brothers. Well, here it says, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. And so, we are the corporate habitation of His presence. We are a home in which the Lord abides. What we want here more than any other thing is we want Christ to be here.
Yes.
We want Christ to be here. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Hold firmly to the fact that you believe, as the Word of God says, that you can walk in fellowship with the Lord, that you can abide in the most holy place. Really, the only two things that you need is to believe that and to desire it. To believe it and to desire it. Do you believe, do you have faith that you can abide in the most holy place? One of the songs we sung today really spoke to me about becoming more consciously aware of God's presence. Becoming more consciously aware of God's presence. See, so often in life, we have our devotions in the morning, great. All right, start our day with the Lord off, great. That's a good thing, of course. But to learn to abide more and more in His presence as we're walking through the day, as we're interacting with our co-workers, that we're aware of His presence. We just don't just know that He's present. We're aware, more and more aware of His presence. Abide in His presence. The Bible says, he who keeps his mind stayed upon the Lord will walk in perfect peace. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. David said, I saw the Lord always before me. I tell the kids at school. We have some really good soccer players, a really good skill. One in particular, it's like he grew up with a soccer ball. All right, and like we can maybe dribble a basketball, he like does this with his feet, you know, and he doesn't break stride as he's dribbling back and forth. He grew up with a ball. He has skill. It's become second nature to him. He doesn't even think about it. Well, David, it became second nature to him. It became second nature to him to get that stone and that sling. He had to fend off the bear and the lion and to protect his sheep. He became very good at the stone with the sling. But when you're facing a 10-foot Goliath, you can be tempted to shake. He was good at what he did. He wasn't a superhero. He was a good shepherd boy. He was skilled. That rock didn't hit Goliath's forehead by accident. But still, as he was facing him, he had to have a steady hand. He could not be shaking in his boots. And so he said, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken.
Amen.
He walked in the light of God's presence. He walked consciously aware of the Lord's presence. Whatever you're facing, whether you're going to school and you're dealing with bullies, or you're going to work and you got an irascible boss, or you got coworkers that, you know, are continually trying to, manipulate you, or whatever it may be, this is the answer: walking in Christ's presence, abiding in His presence, abiding in that most holy place. So it says, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Let's turn to, says verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are. In fact, I've heard it said that perhaps he was even tempted more than us. More than we have been, because he never gave in to temptation. We've given in. He saw that he experienced the temptation to its nth degree because he never gave in. And so he is able to sympathize with us. And so verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The reason that we can come into that most holy place, the reason that we can abide in the very presence of God, the reason that we can live there is not because, oh, I'm holy. You know, I've achieved this holiness that, you know, I can walk around in Christ's presence. It's because we have found mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We have simply remembered that we can approach this throne of grace with confidence. We remember to be humble. All right, God gives grace to the humble. And of course, it's a humble thing to confess your sin. It's a humble thing to confess your faults. And we don't try to fool God. We don't try to lie to God. We don't try to trick God. He sees everything anyways. And we lay bare our life before the Lord. And so because of that, we find mercy. We find grace. He forgives us all our sins as because we're open before the Lord. We're not hiding anything before Him. And so then we are able to enter the most holy place. And then we're holy.
Amen.
Turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8. Let's see what the Lord does in our lives and to really change our heart in His presence. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people.
Amen.
No longer will a man teach his neighbor, a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me. from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Knowing the Lord is abiding in His presence. Knowing the Lord is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. They will all know the Lord. And what happens is the Lord changes us from the inside out by His Holy Spirit, a deposit that He has given us. And He writes His Word upon our hearts. He writes His Word upon our minds. And we become more and more like Christ. Come to Me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Learn of Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. We learn of who Christ is. We learn of what motivates Him. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. So now we're talking about a tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but Jesus entered the most holy place once for all by His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God?
Amen.
See, when the blood of Christ cleanses your conscience from acts that lead to death, sin leads to death. Sin destroys people. Sin destroys relationships. Sin left unchecked will ultimately lead to death and destruction. When you sin, you want to get back to God as soon as you can. Don't let the enemy fool you. Don't let the enemy deceive you. Oh, you sinned. You've blown it. Forget it. You know, your history. All right? Don't buy that lie. We do sin. When we sin, you want to quickly repent. Get back to God. Draw near to God. Before the damage is left unchecked. Turn back to God. But when we come to God and the blood of Christ cleanses us, what it does, it gives us a new start where we can start over. There's nothing like having a clean conscience. There's nothing like having a clear conscience. If I know things are right between me and my wife, and my children, my family, perhaps I'm speaking a harsh word to Caleb or something, all right, and I go to Caleb and say, Caleb, I'm sorry, I know I spoke harshly, will you forgive me? If I know things are right there, right with my relationships, there's no stopping me.
Amen.
There's nothing stopping you. You have a clean start, a fresh start. And so that's what we have to have with the Lord. That's how we're cleansed. And then it says, how much more than will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. That's what the Lord wants for us. So that we may serve the living God. Every single person, in their heart of hearts, they want to do something. They want to accomplish something. They may look lazy. They may look, oh, nah, I don't really, you know, I don't want to get up every day and go to work or this and that. Every single person, their heart of hearts, they want their life to count for something. They want their life to mean something. They want to be part of God's great purpose in helping others. That's what the Lord has for every single one of us, so that we may serve the living God. And as we learn to abide in His presence, again, two things. Number one, Do you believe that you can experience heaven on earth? And number two, do you desire to experience heaven on earth? Heaven on earth is living in that most holy place. Heaven on earth is abiding in Christ's presence. I think we experience often heaven on earth here on Sunday mornings. All right, and I just encourage you, don't get distracted. Don't lose focus. This is some of the things I encourage the children at school. Keep your eyes on the Lord. If we stay focused and fixing our eyes upon the Lord, continuing to worship the Lord, we can come to that place where in His presence, we're in awe of His presence, we are abiding in His presence, and then we can continue to walk in the light of His presence all of our life. I'd like the worship team to come on up here and sing one of those songs again as we just continue to learn what it means to abide in His presence, to live in that most holy place. Father, I just thank You, Lord God, for Your Word. We believe Your Word. We believe that You have this life for us where we can experience heaven on earth. We believe that the way to the most holy place has been opened. We believe that we can now, we don't have to fear it. We need to be reverential. We need not be insincere and just barge in. But it's open. We can come, we can approach confidently. We can approach You confidently, Lord. Father, help us to desire that more than anything else in our life, Lord God, to walk in the light of Your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.